them not. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. Amen. That's a little bit of heaven right there. Did you know that? Yeah. That's a little bit of heaven. I'm sure that's what their mom calls them all the time. A little bit of heaven. And all the moms and dads said amen. I talked to my daughter before I left this morning, and she was talking about her boys are at that age where they want to fight, you know, all the time and things like that, and they'll fight, and then they'll make up, and then they'll fight, and they'll make up. She said, Mom, did me and my sister fight like that when we were kids? I said, absolutely. Because she said, I don't remember it. I said, that's a good thing about it. When you grow up, you don't remember it, you know, but your parents do. Let me just tell you, your parents do. But, amen. My mom used to say that's why some animals eat their young. So I don't know. I don't know about that, but... And then he was, the one little boy, my youngest grandson, Charlie, he was having a little bit of a fit, a little bit of a meltdown over something. It's hard to tell what. And then in the next breath, he was singing me Joy to the World. So, you know, Joy to the World, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. So, amen. No, I am thankful for children, and I do believe that we can come as a little child to Papa's arms, to feel his embrace, to feel his affirmation, to feel the power of his love in our life. And so I'm thankful that we can come as a child. I'm thankful that we have our children. Let me know, our children are an offering of a blessing unto the Lord. They are children as are arrows in the hands of a mighty man. And so are the children of the youth. And so they're like arrows sent forth. And so we pray over those children this morning in Jesus' name that God will anoint their teachers and their hearts to receive and their ears to hear, and that God will empower them to be a force and an anointed and an appointed voice in their generation. Amen. And everybody says amen. 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 Well, last week we talked about, I asked you the question, are you a harvester or a gleaner? Did you ever think about it? There is a big difference. To be a harvester means that you sowed seed with intention, with purpose. You tended that soil and looked after it, and then you reaped a harvest of a bounty that not only could you have for the time being, but hopefully had some to store up for a later time. Amen? That's the purpose of harvest. Gleaning is to gather out of the fields after somebody else has sowed seed and worked and labored. And I'm sure probably in all of our lives there's been times where we have been gleaned, we've gleaned from others, we've gleaned from the seeds that they've sowed, we've gleaned from the hard work that they have labored, where they have labored in the works. We have gleaned from the bounty of the seed of what God has blessed from them. And I'm always thankful to be able to glean from somebody else's garden or somebody else's wardrobe or what somebody else's abundance, whatever it is, right? But how much of a blessing it is to be able to be a harvester and see the fruit of your labor increase with seed for the next season. Yeah. Amen. And so I believe there's power in that. There's beauty in that. You know, I told you before, I think about the scripture all the time. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And as a kid, I could not figure that out. You know, wow, everybody knows it's more fun to receive, right? But as I became an adult, I realized how much it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And how much, and God just, opened my eyes to the fact that it's more blessed, I am more blessed to be in a position to be able to give than to be in the position to need to receive. And all of us have been on both sides of that, I would dare say, in here. What a blessing it is when someone blesses you. But what a blessing it is when you're able to bless somebody else, when you're able to sow that seed, when you are able to be the giver, whether it's in your offering and or in your tithing and things like that, or whether it's in your time or your talents or your treasures. How many know there are many ways that we can give? There are many ways that we can give unto the Lord. And, you know, it's a season of thanksgiving. But in the season of thanksgiving, I think it's very important that Thanksgiving comes before Christmas. Yeah. because I think it's important to be thankful for what you have before we look for more. Amen. And if we really pause and are thankful, this is not the season really to be thinking about what all we can get, to be thankful for what we've already got. Amen. And so to be thankful in our hearts, to be thankful where we are, who we are, what we have, what God's abundance and what He has already given us. I'm thankful today. And so I want to give you an opportunity for a minute. Does anybody have a testimony, anything you want to share about being thankful this morning? Anybody in here thankful?
I feel like we're at the ocean and you're getting hit by waves. It's like you can't even stand up, and it's something else, and it's something else. And it's not always big things. Sometimes it's little things. But after a while, those things add up. Recently, some of you guys know, one of our pups got sick, a pup we weren't even supposed to have, which made it even 100 times worse. And they told us she had parvo, which can kill a dog. And then, of course, CJ had his dog over there, which is like his world right now. And she hadn't been vaccinated. So we were like, oh, God, you know. So we prayed and prayed. And anyway, I don't think that's what the dog ended up having. All of the other dogs are fine. Everybody's fine. The pup is completely back to normal. You know, thank God for that blessing. So this Friday, Thursday, I was bringing Mom home from her surgery, which thankfully went well. Thursday night, my car started steaming real bad and everything. I was like, oh, great, here we go. Now my car is broke down. And I'm like, okay, we literally just paid this car off. Not really in a position to go get something else. What are we going to do? So I just, Chuck's like, are you going to be okay? I said, no, I'm not okay. I'm not okay. I'm not. This is not fine. I keep saying everything's fine, but it's not fine. And I said, you know, I just picked up the dog and I said, okay, God, this is your promise right here in the flesh, telling me that you are going to be faithful and I'm going to believe that you're going to pull through. So I'm just letting this go. What's going to be is going to be. We ended up going online and stumbled on a car yesterday that was way below the book value, way lower than even we were looking for in our price range. We got approved for the loan, picked the car up without even having the check to pay them yet. They gave us the car, everything. Everything is taken care of. I mean, that was a blessing that we weren't even looking for, and it literally fell into our lap. And I'm like, okay. So we weren't planning on this, but God just laid that right in our lap. And it was like another affirmation, like, I've got you. Just calm down. And sometimes, you know, it's big things like a vehicle. Sometimes it's little things like healing a pup. But it's looking at those things saying, okay, I'm frustrated and everything looks like crap right now, but I know it's going to be okay. I know it's going to be okay. I think that it's important, especially this time of year, whenever you have, because it hasn't been a great year for a lot of us, to look at the little things like, it's okay. You pulled me through this. You helped me here. So whether it's the little things or the big things, I'm thankful because I know that even if I can't see it right now, it's going to be okay.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else have something you want to be thankful for today?
You know, sometimes when God moves you, you kind of wonder sometimes because it doesn't always seem like that's where you're supposed to be. About a year and a half ago in my career, He moved me to another agency. And I got in there and things were going bad. And I was starting to look back. And God told me, reminded me of Lot's wife. When she looked back, she turned to a pillar of salt. So it's like, don't look back, keep going forward. And as hard as it's been, I've kept going forward. Kept my head down doing my job. Well, Monday, I got a temporary promotion. Now I'm the acting chief of staff for the entire directorate. And it's like, God, is this what, you want? The confirming part of that is when my assistant director called me and told me about it, and she said, I feel very comfortable with you going forward. So, you know, sometimes we don't always understand why God puts us in a position. And like I said before, this is the AD that signs all of her emails to us with rise and build. And she ends all of her meetings with rise and build. So I just know that and I'm just thankful that God put me in that place, and I didn't act when I was offered to go back. I didn't. I said, I'm here for a reason, and God reveals those reasons. I'm just thankful that I listened this time. This time.
Right? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
I think mine's short, second chances. And we would be here for probably 2 years for all the second chances God's given me in life. I'm just thankful for my second chances.
Hey, Lord, Wes had a COVID scare at work where they sent him home saying he had to go get tested. And so he went and did the rapid test and did the 3-day test, and he was negative, but they called him and told him to go ahead and stay home for the next 10 days and work from home. But that's a blessing to us because we don't get to see him very often. So just to have him in the house and have him home for Thanksgiving and know that he's not sick, but that we get to just enjoy the time with him has really mm-hmm. been a blessing to us.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
Like 4 years ago, I had a heart attack, and I didn't do anything for like a couple years. I was just restless and didn't have anything, much interest to do stuff. So in the last, this year's been a really good year. I mean, I've got married to a beautiful woman, mm-hmm. and I've got strength, and I go for like 5-6 miles walk a day. I do all kinds of different things. I get up like at 2:30 or 3 in the morning and then like read the Bible and do different things. But it's just that I like to thank him for the strength. And then it says like in Isaiah 40:31, it says, this is the promise that I keep. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. One of my favorites. Amen. Anybody else?
They keep on downsizing at his work, and every time they get ready to do layoffs and downsizing, he gets a new job. And so he's gotten transferred and worked in like 4 or 5 different states now, but it's because they want to keep him. And so we're thankful for every transfer and every new job that he gets and every new position that he gets. It's been a little hectic, you know, to like, okay, stop that, now go do this job instead. And okay, stop that, now you're going to do this job instead. But it's because they want to keep him, so we'll take it. You know what I mean? Every time that they get ready to do a layoff, he gets a new job because they don't want to lay him off. And so I'm thankful for confusion and chaos sometimes like that, because that means that we are still hanging on and we're doing okay.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Sometimes the chaos brings the kairos moments. Amen. I am. I'm loving it. I'm just walking around the walls of Jerusalem this morning.
I too am thankful. I mean, everyone knows I've been in accidents, and Lord's touching and healing and able to let that be a witness for me. But like, somewhat like Jamie said, she was punch for punch. I described it as a scab. I said to one boss this week, could you please just let my scab heal? Because it just seemed like it was one thing after another. Pick my mother up, take her to the doctor Thursday, and I'm telling her. And she just sits there and goes, mm-hmm. And it's just come over me. This is not a big deal. Quit making a big deal of it. Talk to Joe. Joe always sets me straight. Yeah, so what? Deal with it, you know. So I'm thankful for what God has done in my life, but I'm also thankful for my support systems.
Wow. Awesome. Amen. The more thankful, the better. I'm good with it. It's all right with me. Your life preaches. That'll work.
I'm not much for talking sometimes, and I just have to verbalize the gratefulness I am for God just watching over. I thank him for this church. I thank him for Jesus. I thank him for all that he's done in my family, even though it's not as straight as I would like to see it. I thank him so much for that. And for about 4 or 5 years, I had two of my children who are like a little older. They hadn't spoken to me, and I didn't know why. And God repaired that just a few weeks ago. And I just give him so much glory because I miss them so, so much. But God is good. He is so good. And I thank him. I have to say that. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Another prayer answered in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else on this side? Just kidding. Anybody else want to give thanks this morning?
I know they're not up here, but we'll come here and Jamie's here. But I'm thankful for my kids' Sunday school teachers. I've seen a big maturity in Charlotte, and I know that I didn't do that by myself.
Amen. Amen. So thankful for our children's ministry team. Amen. Anybody else?
You can stay right there with me.
I'd love to, Kim. I'm coming back. I'd love to.
I'm just
trying to get you on live stream.
I'm thankful for our group that we keep in touch with every morning, you know, when somebody's down. They just pick us up. We're there to pick each other up, and I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful for Trish, minister, and youth minister, and Crystal, to my girls. It's been rough, but I'm just thankful for our tribe, as we call it, because we're always there to lift each other up no matter what.
Amen. Anybody else? Are we good? Off just in case. All right. Well, if you think of something you're thankful, just pipe in. It'll be all right. It's all right. Amen. I know that we're all thankful, and I know sometimes it's hard to put it in words. And regardless of where you are in that season, you know, some people are still in that waiting for that promotion, or somebody are still in that season waiting for that healing. Or be encouraged by the testimonies and the word that you hear, that God is moving, he is working, he is shifting, he is promoting, he is moving. He's never failed you yet. Amen. He's got you. And you know, I love that the scripture that I started out with in the beginning, let the little children come unto me. And I believe that we come to God as a little child. We can come as mature sons as well. But there are times we can come as a little child and say, Papa God, here I am. I need your direction. I need you to speak into my life. You know, sometimes you just have that parent or that person that'll speak into your life. You know it already. You just need to hear somebody else say it out loud, right? And that's always comforting and powerful. And so I want to start with Proverbs 17:22, a real well-known scripture. Proverbs 17:22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. A merry heart, a joyful heart is good medicine. A thankful heart. A heart that is thankful in this season. And to have a thankful heart, a merry heart, the scripture says is good medicine. But a broken spirit dries the bones. To be able to have a heart of rejoicing, to be able to have a heart of thanksgiving, to be able to have a heart of praise and worship, even when things are not where you want them to be able to be thankful. You know, I said before we started out the season of 2020 talking about having vision, having 2020 vision and staying focused. And boy, did we need to stay focused this year, right? And COVID is just one of the things that we've walked through, or one of the things that we've dealt with this year. And how many are just thankful that COVID is no match for God? Amen. Amen. And, you know, we have walked through many things this year, but by the grace of God, we've made it to Thanksgiving, right? And so there are many things to go back and be thankful for this year. No one in our nursing home here has COVID. Amen. And Kathy just retired. Right from our nursing home out here, just was able to retire, and our nursing home has been COVID-free through this whole season. So thank God for that. Yeah. Amen. Thank God for that. And so a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. I don't know about you, but it encourages me to hear your thankfulness. It encourages me to hear your testimony. It encourages me to hear your victory, because it lets me know it's available for me as well. Amen. And so to be reminded, our testimony is powerful. And one of the greatest sermons you'll ever preach is your own testimony. You know, and I believe R.C. said that as well. God has used the many struggles in his life to become, has taken what has been a mess and made it a message and made it a testimony, and it made something of glory unto God, but by the grace of God. Amen. And so the thankfulness of where, you know, even in the face of sickness, even in the face of those things, if you can find something to be thankful for. I'm thankful. I love hearing I'm thankful for my support system. I love hearing I'm thankful for family. I like hearing I'm thankful for my health. I like hearing I'm thankful for my job. Where many people are looking for jobs, small businesses are struggling, things have shifted in our economy, shifted in our nation, shifted in our lifestyles. How many know a lot of this stuff we didn't see coming? Amen. Who knew that our biggest crisis, one of our biggest crises in 2020 would be toilet paper? I'm thankful for toilet paper today. Amen? Those are small things. But how many know sometimes we got to go back, and even when life gets crazy and life gets hard and we have that chaos, I love, Aaron, what you said about chaos, because in the middle of chaos, God can make kairos moments come out of chaos. And sometimes things get stirred to make us uncomfortable or to make us aware that there's a shifting, and then all of a sudden in the chaos and in the shifting and in the move, God plugs something into place and you say, ah, that was it. That's what I was feeling. That's the shifting. That was the moving. That's the shaking that I'm feeling. And so I'm thankful that in a merry heart, a joyful heart is good medicine. A thankful heart is good therapy. The last thing you want to do if you are struggling, if you are down, you are discouraged, you're in despair, is to hang out with somebody else who's down, discouraged, and in despair. Amen. Right? Somebody got to refocus. Somebody has to refocus. Somebody has to say, wait a minute. Let's just pause and think back for a moment. I was talking with a teacher I was working with the other day, and we were sharing some things about, you know, growing up and early on, and talking about, you know, children and just different things like that, and talking about how far we've come. Anybody here in here can tell some war stories, right? You know, we walked uphill both ways to get to school and all that kind of stuff, and everybody wants to tell their war stories, right? And you know, and so when but to go back and reflect, if you remember where you came from, I have to just sit here this morning and rejoice and say, Lord, you have brought us so far. I told you the story about when we first got married, we didn't have insulation in our house, in the attic. We didn't put any attic insulation in. And it was a cold winter. Why we didn't wait till we had insulation before we got married, I don't know. Right? We could have waited, but we were in love, I guess. We were. I shouldn't have said I guess. I should say we were in love. We still are. Let me just make that. And it was so cold that winter, and he worked construction work, and we didn't have insulation in the attic. So we decided to sleep in the living room beside the wood stove. So we pushed the couches together, put them up next to the old warm morning stove we had. And it was so cold that morning when I got up to go to work, I was just going to lay my bathrobe on that warm morning stove just to warm me up for just a minute before I went to work. And he was firing that puppy so hard, it burned a hole right in the back of my one and only bathrobe. Scorched a hole right in it. We've come a long way, baby. We still have a wood stove and we still know how to use it. But we also have insulation. We learned some things over time along the way. We learned the power of hard work. We learned the power of working together. We learned in having to have goals, to have purpose. We learned to give our all to Jesus, totally sold out to God's purpose. We learned if we would build this house, that God would build our house. We learned if we minister to other people's kids, God would minister to our kids. We learned a lot of things over the way. And so when I say we're thankful, I'm thankful for hard times. I'm thankful for $100 cars. Amen. We paid $100 for an old Rambler when we got married. Yay, all you Rambler fans. We had a $100 Rambler we paid for. We got married in June. Dan left in August. Now, he didn't leave me. He just left from Mexico on a missions trip. While he was gone, that Rambler, $100, you don't get much for $100. That $100 Rambler had something to do with the rocker arms, and the oil wasn't getting to the top of the motor. And by the time he got bam, that thing was just a clanging and a banging. I couldn't figure out what was wrong with it. We took it to the mechanic, and the mechanic said, God had to hold this car together for you because there's no oil coming to the top of the motor. It had worn dust along the red dust along the top of it where it had worn, and God held that car together until we could get back and put some money in our $100 Rambler so we could keep running it for a while. I was thankful for that $100 Rambler. I was thankful for that house with no insulation. I was thankful for the times that we had enough money to pay our house payment, pay our tithes, and get some groceries. And be thankful we could figure it out again for next month. Do you know what I'm saying? Am I the only one in here today have had some of those moments where you said, God, I don't know how this is going to work, but I know I have no option but to trust you. I know I have no option to trust you because you've never failed me. I learned as a little girl to be a giver. I learned to give. I learned to tithe. My parents always taught us to tithe. And they, you know, if we got a dollar, we paid 10 cents of it. We gave our 10% or whatever. And I told you the story before. I remember the time that, you know, Mom and Dad had talked to us about tithing. And I gave my probably 10 cents because we never got any money. We didn't get allowance when I was a little girl. We were allowed to live at home. We were allowed to eat at the table. We were allowed to do chores. There was no such thing as allowance. But every now and then you might get some birthday money. And I remember giving my money in the offering, knowing that God was going to bless me back, right? Because that's what they told me. You give to God and he blesses you back above and beyond. And I did that, and Mom asked me to clean out and pull the cushions off the couch. And she asked me to put my hands down there and get all the things that, you know, just fall down in around your couch and all those little things that falls out of people's pockets. And I was doing that, and I did that one day, and I reached down there and I pulled out two handfuls of coins out of that couch. And I looked at that and I was like, thank you, Jesus, because I knew God had seen my offering and I knew he had blessed me and increased me, and I was hooked. I was hooked, hook, line, and sinker. From then on, I knew God would not fail me and that you cannot outgive God. If there's one thing I can tell you today, you cannot outgive God, that he gives back to us in abundance. And so I'm thankful for need this morning. I'm thankful for hard times. I'm thankful for those times where you just have no choice but to trust God, and then he comes through for you.
To add on to that, I wouldn't want to repeat last year, but out of the illness and all the adversity of last year, so many good things have come from that, and in spite of that, we'll say. God has just blessed us hand over fist, family, retirement, all kinds of things. It just, like I said, I don't want to repeat it, but I'll take the blessings. I'll take the blessings that has come in spite of it.
Absolutely.
And that's what you're saying. God blesses us in spite of adversity. You know,
Amen.
He can take whatever we're going through and make it a blessing.
Yes.
You know, and so that just to tack on to what you were saying, that's I'm living proof.
Living proof, amen, that he takes the chaos.
Yep,
like you said, I'm not a car person. I don't care about cars. I've driven fancy cars, and I've driven lemons. And I am still super, super duper thankful when I get in my car, it starts every morning. And I don't have to worry about it not starting every time I go out and get in the car, because I've had more than one that you couldn't count on that, or you could drive down the road and they would just turn off while you were driving, you know, and regularly, you know, that kind of thing. So it's easy to be thankful for things, you know, if you've had those experiences. And so I think sometimes that's a blessing.
Amen. Amen. To be thankful in need. I remember one time Dan's mom and my mom were in a car accident, actually. And when they came back home, and my dad said to his mom, said, well, did you say thank you, Jesus? And she said, no. And he said, well, the scripture says in everything, give thanks. You know, be thankful. It doesn't say for everything, give thanks. It says in everything, give thanks. He said, you weren't injured in the accident. Thank you, Jesus. Car, they make new cars every day. All colors, any color you want, you know. Any kinds of them, but they don't make new people every day. So even in those trying times, there are things to be thankful for. And if we can find that heart of thanksgiving, if we can find that place of rejoicing, if we can find that and be thankful and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations.
Yeah.
Amen. So I was thinking about a couple things today, and I'm going to go quickly because you guys have already preached for me, and that's okay. Because that's the point of being thankful,
yeah,
is to hear the thankfulness of people. I hope you leave here today thankful, if nothing else. And I hope in this week that you stop and pause and rewind and play. That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Does anybody in here remember cassette players? Yeah. Anybody remember phonographs and record? We go way back. We laugh all the time because we'll get a picture of a paper in class that we need to work on with kindergartners. There'll be a picture of telephone. You know, and it looks like this kind of thing with the cord and the, and they're like, because to them, this is a telephone. But we remember telephones, right? And so the old cassette player on it had a stop, a play, a pause, and a rewind, right? You remember that? We still have those in my classroom. I still know how to work one of those. So I just want to give you four words today: stop, pause, rewind, and play. Okay? And I'll do it quick and we'll go. But I want, first of all, I want you to stop. Stop for a moment. Stop to give thanks. Stop complaining. Stop saying you can't. Stop looking for all the reasons why it won't work, it won't heal, it won't happen, and start being thankful for all of the reasons why it can. Faith trumps everything. Faith trumps your negativity. Faith trumps your doubt. Faith trumps hopelessness. Stop focusing on all the things that are wrong and start focusing on all the things that are right. Stop it. That's what I tell all my family and my kids. Stop it. Stop talking like that. Stop. Stop speaking negativity over yourself. Stop speaking it over your life. Stop speaking it over your relationship. Stop speaking it over your kids. Stop. Stop and pause. Stop. Because we know as believers that the power of life and death is in the tongue. And you have to choose to speak life and not death. You have to choose to worship and not wine. You have to choose life over death. And so sometimes we just have to stop. And then we have to pause. Pause and give thanks. Pause and be thankful. Thankfulness is a choice. Let it guard your heart through every heart, every situation, every holiday, every family affair. Pause and give thanks. I want to read out of Psalms 100, 1 through 5, and then I want to read it in the Message Bible because I just like how it says it. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And the shepherd provides everything that the sheep need. They are helpless without him. Enter into his gates, what? With thanksgiving. And into his courts with what? With praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Now I want to read it for you out of the Message Bible. On your feet now. Applaud God. Bring a gift of laughter. Sing yourself into his presence. Know this, God is God. And God, God. He made us. We didn't make him. We're his people, his well-tended sheep. Enter with the password. Listen to this. Enter with the password. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's the password into the gates of his presence. Enter with the password, thank you. Make yourselves at home in his presence, talking praise. Thank him. Worship him. For God is sheer beauty, all generous in love, loyal always and ever. We are the sheep of his pasture. Stop. Pause. Rewind. Rewind the scripture out of Luke chapter 17, verse 11 through 19. It happened that as he made his way towards Jerusalem, he crossed over the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 men, all lepers, met him. They kept their distance but raised their voices, calling out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Taking a good look at them, he said, "Go show yourself to the priest." They went, and while still on their way, became clean. One of them, when he realized that he was healed, turned around and came back shouting his gratitude, glorifying God. He kneeled at Jesus' feet, so grateful. He couldn't thank him enough, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus said, "We're not 10 healed? Where are the 9? Can none be found to come back and give glory to God except this outsider?" Then he said to him, "Get up on your way. Your faith has saved you." Sometimes you got to rewind. You got to go back. As I was talking earlier today, you got to remember how far he's brought you and realize how far he can take you. The scripture said, as they were going and in their journey, as they went, their healing came. Can I just tell you this morning, in my journey with Jesus, one step at a time, my healing comes more and more and more. That our healing comes. But he said that as he went, he realized, wait a minute, something has happened. Something has transpired. Healing has taken place, mind, soul, body, and spirit. And he paused and he did a rewind and he came back and said, "Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for intercepting my day. Thank you for interrupting my day. Thank you for showing up in my desperation. Thank you for proving to me that you still hear me when I pray. Thank you that you reminded me that I am your well-tended sheep." And he did a rewind and went back and gave thanks. He returned to give glory, to respond to God. Our journey, sometimes our healing comes in our obedience. And in our journey, we realize God is at work in us. And then play. Push the play button. Where is your focus? Your thought process is everything. Philippians 4, 6 through 14 in the Message Bible. 6 through 9 in the Message is actually where I'm going to go, I think. Don't fret or worry. Ha. Got that, right? Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when God displaces worry at the center of your life. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. How many of you are ready for harmony in your life? Stand to your feet with me this morning. Whatever mindset you feed, positive or negative, is what will grow. What do you feed into? The positivity or the negativity? Because what you feed into will grow. You must make more deposits than withdrawals, or you will be spiritually bankrupt. If you or people are constantly withdrawing from you, you must be sure to make deposits back in you. I believe what we do when we come together in the house of the Lord is we allow God to make deposits. Because there's a lot of people that withdraw from you, but I believe God wants to put deposits back in you so that we draw from that well of salvation, that resource of life that's in us. Amen.